WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Thursday, June 1st. Coming up, we'll learn more about the passage of the annual budget and how Democrats used a supermajority to pass bills Republicans were opposing. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The House of Representatives passed a bill to raise the nation's debt ceiling, but Republicans in Illinois' congressional delegation were against it. The GOP majority in Congress passed the bill 314 to 117 last night. However, Illinois Republican Representatives Mike Bost, Darren LaHood, and Mary Miller all issued statements saying they voted no. The bill restricts spending for the next 2 years, although it bolsters funds for defense and veterans. It also imposes new work requirements for older Americans receiving food aid. Downstate Democrat Representatives Nikki Budzinski, Robin Kelly, and Eric Sorensen approved the debt ceiling increase. The bill now heads to the Senate with passage expected by the end of the week. Advocates rallied at the Joliet Diocese yesterday after a report revealed the Catholic Church in Illinois did not disclose hundreds of clergy members credibly accused of sexual abuse. Cameron Cutinello reports.
Members of the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, or SNAP, want Joliet Bishop Ronald Hicks and other church leaders to be more transparent with investigations. An Illinois Attorney General's report found the Joliet Diocese had a, quote, distressing history of hiring clergy with prior abuse allegations. David Clossy of SNAP called for a change to the statute of limitations to allow criminal prosecution of credibly accused clergy.
Kids are safest when predators are jailed. And if this many predators can't be jailed, something about the law must change.
Hicks has apologized for the past actions of the diocese. I'm Cameron Cusinello.
Governor J.B. Pritzker visited Champaign's International Prep Academy yesterday to promote spending in the new state budget for preschool education. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
The Champaign Unit 4 School District says it's in a preschool desert due to a shortage of funding for public preschool programs. Governor Pritzker says the Smart Start Illinois program aims to fill the gap with $250 million in the new state budget that lawmakers passed last week.
And over the next few years, it will provide every child in Champaign with access to a preschool slot, a preschool program, every single child, and eliminate preschool deserts across the state of Illinois.
Pritzker says Smart Start Illinois will pay to open more preschools across the state and send another 20,000 3- and 4-year-olds to early childhood programs. I'm Jim Meadows.
Decatur Public Schools temporarily closed its two Dennis Lab School campuses yesterday, quote, out of an abundance of caution to assess structural concerns. Students finished their last day of school Tuesday. For now, administrators and secretaries are working from home. District 61 spokesperson Denise Swarthout said a structural engineer visited the campuses yesterday and voiced concerns. The district is having another engineer look at the buildings before the end of the week and will update staff then. The two Dennis Lab schools are Decatur's oldest and most historic school buildings, dating back to 1910 and 1914. District 61 was trying to build a new Dennis Lab school to replace the two campuses, but paused after the potential locations proved controversial. Still to come, we'll learn more about the passage of the annual state budget. That story is next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. Illinois lawmakers have left Springfield after passing a $50 billion annual budget. Democrats also used their supermajorities to push through a number of other bills that Republicans largely opposed. State House reporter Cameron Cutinello provides a recap in this conversation with Eric Stock.
So the big story of every spring legislative session is the budget. Lawmakers approved it. It didn't seem to take very long to get budget passed once lawmakers started debating it, but lawmakers still missed their self-imposed deadline to get it done the week before Memorial Day. So what was holding it up?
The session did go a week past the scheduled May 19th adjournment. Just for some context, they usually go into Memorial Day weekend and end up working on Memorial Day. So we did avoid that this year. One of the main delays came from a program which gives Medicaid-style healthcare to undocumented residents. It's forecasted to cost a bit more than they initially planned for. So the budget that they ended up passing gives $550 million to this program, which is about half of the $1.1 billion that the program is expected to need. So there was a good amount of debate between the Democratic Party leaders about how exactly to go about handling that. So the compromise that they ultimately reached was they passed a separate piece of legislation which gives the governor rulemaking powers to try and control costs and control enrollment in that program.
And that seemed to be the Republicans' main concern about the bill since this budget vote went along party lines?
Yeah, so the Republicans had a lot of their usual concerns about overspending. They're worried that ultimately with the budget plan, that spending is going to overshadow revenues and make the budget unbalanced. But there were also two other things that Republicans wanted that they ultimately did not fully get. They wanted a $4 raise for caregiver workers who work with the developmentally disabled, and the budget gave a $2.50 raise. And then they were also disappointed that the budget did not include an extension for the Invest in Kids scholarship program, which gives residents a tax credit if they give scholarship donations to private schools.
Illinois became the first state to approve a ban on book bans. It says libraries would lose state funding if they remove materials because of, quote, partisan or doctrinal disapproval. Book bans have been on the rise in other parts of the country in the latest culture war. How did that debate play out in Springfield?
We had Republicans saying that these decisions should be left up to local library boards and that for the state to do this is an overreach. They think that if books are inappropriate, then individual library boards should get to make the decision on whether or not to carry those books. And then on the other side, we had Democrats saying that people should have access to all books and that it should be up to the individual person on what they read and don't read. And then we also had a further debate about school libraries, with Republicans saying that there should be an exception for school libraries and Democrats still disagreeing and say that it should be up to the parents on what books their kids do and do not read.
Were there any consequential votes that won anything close to bipartisan support?
Yeah, there were a couple votes that got bipartisan support. One big one is the end on the ban to nuclear construction. That bill actually had a Republican sponsor in the Senate and a Democratic sponsor in the House. So it ultimately split the Democratic Party, with moderate Democrats siding with the Republicans and saying that these new plants should be built, and more progressive Democrats questioning if nuclear energy really is green and questioning issues with waste disposal. But a lot of the votes, such as gender-neutral bathrooms, ending deceptive practices at crisis pregnancy centers, and full-day kindergarten, were passed on partisan lines.
As we continue with Capitol reporter Cameron Cuttinello, I'm Eric Stock. There were several measures, including one on gun control, that came up this session but did not get across the finish line. Can you highlight a few of those and explain what happens now?
Yeah, so there was a couple bigger pieces of legislation that got kind of just proposed too late into session for it to go through the whole track in time. One of these was a gun control bill, which would allow judges to order people who are subject to personal protection orders to surrender their weapons to law enforcement. There was another bill that has more than a dozen changes to cannabis law in Illinois, which would include allowing drive-through and curbside sales. And then there is also one which includes some tax breaks for the Bears as they move to Arlington Heights. So these bills, a lot like the Invest in Kids Act, will be taken up in veto session and further discussed whether or not they should pass. So yeah, veto session, which is scheduled to start October 26.
That was State House reporter Cameron Cuttinello speaking with Eric Stock. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly sunny with a slight chance of thunderstorms and a high of 90 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Reginald Hardwick, Cameron Cuttinello, Jim Meadows, and Emily Hayes. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.